traveling the country somewhat, and I'm happy to be home and sitting in one place. But I've missed you guys, and I've missed what family means in church, and I've missed our connections. And it's amazing to me how quickly connections like that can be broken if it's not true love. And so that tells me that it is, because that's the love of the Lord, and I'm just so thankful for that. This morning, as we begin to worship, I just want to say that it's going to be easy to worship the Lord and have everything that has happened to you over the past week be with you, whether it be good or bad. But I'm going to just encourage each one of us to worship God in spirit and in truth, and let all of that other stuff fall away, because that is true worship. It's not sharing our worship with the car that broke down, or the friend that hurt us, or the bad day at work. It's worshiping Him ourselves, just us and Him. And that's true worship, and that's what His heart longs for. So as we stand today, I want to encourage you to worship Him, and let it be just about you and just about Him this morning. And each one of us, as we worship, that's what makes corporate worship. So let's stand. If you feel during worship that you want to come forward and worship in the altar, I invite you. The altars are open to come up front if you need to not be distracted. And I want to remind you that a couple years ago, the Lord put on my husband's heart, we don't take your tithes and offerings, you give it, and it is part of your worship. So if you feel the Lord impressing your heart to give an offering, or if it's time for you to worship the Lord in your giving, there's a box right here, and there's a box in the back in the foyer. And so feel free to give it as part of your worship this morning. So if you'll stand with me, we'll go before the Lord and we'll worship Him. Father, we're thankful, Lord God, for You. And we're thankful, God, because You are true, You are good. And so, Lord, we just come to You with open hearts, Lord. Father, I do pray that everything that has made us who we are this week, that it would just fall by the wayside, God, and that it would just be about me and about You, God. Father, that yes, at the end of all of this, at the end of this worship time, God, it wouldn't stop, but that my heart would be in continued communion with You, God, but that You, God, would be blessed by the worship, God. You would be honored and glorified. Your name would be lifted high, Jesus. So, Father, we just enter in. We enter in and we press in and we push through in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Yes.
Let your breath come from heaven.
here for you. Yes, we are here for you. Yeah, to you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire.
You alone.
You alone are holy. Only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down. And let our shout be your anthem, your renown. Fill the skies. We are here for you. Yes, we are here for you.
Let your word.
Let your word move in power. Let what's dead come to life. We are here for you. Yes, we are here for you.
To you.
To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. And you alone are holy. Only you are worthy, God. Let your fire fall down.
To you.
To you our hearts are open. Nothing here is hidden. You are our one desire. And you alone are holy.
We welcome.
We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place.
Let every
heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. Fill you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. We welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. Let every heart adore. Let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. Be welcome in this place. Be welcome in this place. and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence. Lord, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence. Lord, we welcome you with praise. We welcome you with praise. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. Let every heart adore, let every soul awake. Almighty God of love, be welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. You're welcome in this place. We know you hold nothing back. We know you hold nothing back. You sent your lovely son. You sent your lovely son. He chose to come and die for us. You hold nothing back. Yes, you hold nothing back from us. You're holding nothing back. Oh, you're holding nothing back from us. You're holding nothing back. Teach my heart. Teach my heart to hold nothing back from you. Teach my heart. Teach my heart to hold nothing back from you. Teach my heart. Teach my heart to hold nothing back from you. You teach my heart. Teach my heart to hold nothing back from you. You're holding nothing back. Yes, you're holding nothing back from me. You hold nothing back. You're holding nothing back from me. So like a flood, come and overflow my soul. So like a flood, overflow my soul. So like a flood, like a flood, come and overflow my soul. So like a flood, come and overflow my soul. You're holding nothing back. You're holding nothing back. From me, you hold nothing back. You're holding nothing back from me. You saw my sin, you saw my shame, and still
hold nothing back. You saw my sin, you saw my shame, and still you held nothing back. And you see my sin, you see my shame, and still you hold nothing back. Your love poured out for me, you held nothing back. You held nothing back. You're holding nothing back. You're holding nothing back from me.
I belong.
closer than,
closer than the skin on my bones. You're closer than the song on my tongue.
Your thoughts.
Your thoughts define me. You're inside me. You're my reality. You're my reality. Abba,
give us the opportunity to come to the Lord's table this morning. He did hold nothing back. He gave it all. He gave every part of himself, not just his body, but his entire being to the process of the crucifixion. He felt and experienced yours and my sin, yours and my hurt, yours and my pain. Says Isaiah 53. Let me just read it. I don't want to butcher it this morning. That would be bad to butcher the word, wouldn't it? Isaiah 53. Let me start from verse 1. Who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, no beauty that we should desire him. This is where it starts. He is despised and rejected by man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we did not esteem him. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, and he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. He held nothing back. He held nothing back. And today, when we take communion, we get to enter into that place of the cross with him. We get to enter into that place of we're crucified with Christ. It is no longer we who live. And all that he became, that was, I guess, the part of us that was not of God, enabled us to become the parts of God, the life of God, the character of God, the very DNA of God. And so when we take the bread, his body, and we eat it, we become one with him. Not just in a symbolic way, but I believe that it enfolds in a greater depth of that oneness that we have with him. And when we take the cup, the juice, and we take his blood, we take on his life. And so in him holding nothing back, he gives us everything. He gave it all so that we could receive it all. It's an unfair exchange, but nonetheless, it was God's idea. And now, because of that, we can cry, Abba, Father. We can cry, Daddy, Daddy. We can call on the Father of spirits and the Father of lights. And he responds. And he works in our lives in a miraculous way. And that's because the Lord held nothing back. So as we continue to play songs, you can come up as right away if you want to, or you can wait a little bit, but as a family or family of the body, come up and take the elements. I'm going to bless them right now. Lord, we thank you for your death, burial, and resurrection. We thank you, Lord, for this table which represents oneness with you, common union, which represents your life being imparted to us. We thank you, Jesus, that you held nothing back. We honor your body and your blood today, Lord. We honor the sacrifice of sacrifices, the gift of gifts, the life of life that was laid down for us. And we receive now, Lord, back into us, Lord, that life that you've given us that is yours. That oneness with you, Lord. Even though we don't deserve it, even though it looks like it's not real, we know that it's the truth, that we have oneness with you. And we receive that today. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Anyway, if there's any doubt as to the reality of Jesus Christ and his promises being fulfilled, not in our time, but in his time, just contemplate and take a look at the Jewish people, his chosen people, 2,000 years of wandering in the wilderness, the only thing in history of a nation being reunited is his people. His people. You can trust what God says in his word, because it is going to come true. Maybe not on your nickel, but when it comes true, it will be there in his time. Just contemplate the Jew. Thank you.
I don't know how the Lord's going to weave this into what Kenna said, but I'm going to be obedient. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. On Thursday night, we had the opportunity to go to Together Church, and Pastor Benny Perez from Las Vegas was there preaching, and that man rocks. That man moves. That man is followed under anointing of the Lord that is unbelievable. I'm sorry you weren't there, but his words were released into our valley. And we're going to stand on those words. But I have to be obedient to the Lord, so I don't want to get going. I want to say what the Lord asked, has put on my heart to share. He had some practical things. I mean, I could tell you about some of the miracles and some of the supernatural things that he has done and he did, and some of his prayers and stories, and he preached on something that the Lord gave him on Tuesday morning in prayer. He preached that Thursday. But what he said is these three things that I have to say. One is, he said, never just expect prayer time. That, okay, 9:15 is my prayer time, and I've got till 9:45. We're to have a prayer time, but we're to be open to prayer and time with the Lord at all times. Tuesday morning, the Lord called him to a private time. And from that message, from that prayer time and that presence with the Lord, that man delivered a powerful message Wednesday night and Thursday night as he was traveling. So expect that in your day when you're walking with the Lord, that you're going to have times when he wants an encounter with you. He wants time with you. He wants you to see him and hear him and know him. Know his voice. Know his presence. That was pretty powerful. So yes, prayer time, and yes, presence in the Lord. But you have to hear him, and you have to be obedient. And then the second one was, he said, when you get up, it isn't about checking these, not this text, but the text. Get in the word of Lord, the Lord, first thing in the morning. I don't know how many times we spend time on our phones, but the Lord wants time with him. He wants us to not be sitting at a dinner table quietly trying to slip down and check to see what your phone is saying, or if you're in a meeting trying to check what your phone is saying. Be in the presence of the Lord and be in his word. That is the word that should be carrying us, not whatever is on Facebook or whatever. Not that that isn't important, but in its place and in its time. The text, the word of God, is far greater. I can't tell you the third one. Maybe that one wasn't as important as the other two. Oh, thank you. I will share that. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. When he was praying, and he was praying over Mekon and praying over the staff and all those things that you do when you go visit a church, he also had a vision that this valley would have 5,000 new Christians, that there would be such a revival of the Spirit, such a movement of the Spirit, that we will experience 5,000 new Christians walking, talking, breathing, living, worshiping, and working in the kingdom of God. So if that is to come to pass, guess what, folks? We have a job to do. We have a big job to do, and it isn't just for Mekon's church. It was for this valley, our home. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, that what you prayed into that man, that what you spoke into Benny Perez, Lord God, I release those words into this community, whatever we are. Parish. Oh, no, that's not right either. Family. Whatever we are, whoever we are, we're God's people, and we better be moving. We better be in the Word. We better be walking and talking and breathing and living the Lord God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We submit our lives to you, Lord. We renew our lives to you, Lord. You are our Papa Daddy. You are our Papa Daddy. Your DNA is us, Lord. We welcome you, Lord. We welcome you. We give thanksgiving for every time you answer our prayer. Long before it's answered, we thank you, Lord. And we praise you. And may your will be done in our lives, Lord. May your will be done in each of our lives.
So after that, let's go and have the children come on up. I know you need to talk to a second. She's got like a, what do you call that? It's like your offering. Outreach ministry box. Sure, go ahead.
I just want to remind everybody that we're still doing our African outreach. And what this is it is going to be going to the orphans and the widows of Zimbabwe, one of our sister ministries through our organization, Grace International, is Pastor Danny Curl, and he is ministering in Zimbabwe and has his whole, you know, a long time, for a really long time. He's made it his life over there. And this really touched my heart last year when I heard about it, so I knew that I wanted to do that as an outreach this year for our children. So what we've been doing this whole year is receiving offerings from the kids and from you, and we're getting close to the end, and so we're going to do one great big push for the next month to make sure that we get enough to be able to send to him. So if it's on your heart and you'd like to see me about it, I can give you more information. But again, just make sure that the kids remember it and just bring it up to them often and have them pray for the widows and the orphans, have them pray for Pastor Danny, and then remember that their offerings are being received for this.
Amen. And if you guys, you know, really get it on your heart and don't want to just send it with your kids, you can, during the service, put it in as it's sitting up here. Sometimes it's in another room before it goes downstairs. But, oh, they can mark on their envelope. Very good. Okay, guys, let's pray. Hey, let's do this. This is, I know I'm going to put the mic down, but you guys want to hold hands and pray? Let's do
that. Come on, you can do it. Can you hold hands? No. Okay. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this gathering, Lord, of these kids. And we pray, God, that you just bless them today. Help them, God, to receive everything that you have for them. Touch their hearts and touch their lives. In Jesus' name.
Amen. That's an old four square way of doing things, holding hands around a circle. Some kids say, no, thank you. Do you have something, Glenn? You're standing over there on the side, or you're just basking? I'm going to leave this up here for today. Last week we got to go to Moses Lake and then through Moses Lake out to Grand Coulee. And we were driving our car back through, on the way there, back through these crazy places. I mean, it was like, you know, wheat fields, dry wheat fields, big circles, and then just stretch of just sagebrush. And we got to our location fine, and no problem. We were in our car. And then we were leaving that day, went back the same way. This time we at least had some kind of, you know, what do you call those, caravan going of people. But on Friday, it was just us. So we get all the way back into town, and we're coming up 40th. And our car, like, started making a sound that sounded like, well, it sounded like the engine was blowing up. It really did. Jesse was in the car. It was pretty bad, wouldn't you say, Jess? It's like this, but the engine wasn't like shaking or anything like that. So we died right there. The car died. Yeah, we died. I think they know that the car died. For anyone listening to the audio, I did not die right there. Okay. Thank you, son, though. That's good. Definitely have to qualify that statement. The car died right there. Yeah. So I'm not kidding. Within probably 45 seconds, a lady, bless her heart, pulled over on the other side. She's running across the road. Let's push it. Well, we're pushing uphill. And I'm like, I'm going to give it a try. Bless your heart, you want to try. And it immediately starts rolling backwards. So I jumped in, put the brake on. 30 seconds later, a sheriff pulled up who had one of those bumpers that could push you. And he pushed us up the hill, went around the corner, and we parked it. At the same time, Tyson, who was so gracious last week to run the sound while Jesse was gone, was calling Jesse. So within 10 minutes, Tyson was down there picking us up. And so the Lord covered everything. Can you imagine, though, if we would have been way, way out there someplace and that would have taken place? I mean, he really watches over us. He really cares for us. And sometimes I don't think we really realize all the angels and all the hosts of heaven that are out guarding us and protecting us. How many times maybe our life is spared. And but every now and then you get to see, you know, right in front of your eyes, oh, wow, this was orchestrated perfectly, Lord. So praise God. Looks like I'm missing a verse here. Well, if you turn with me in your Bibles to, where are we going to go first? Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. My iPad's been acting up today, or acting out. It literally died during worship because I wasn't able to play or anything. So, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 and 24. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He also will do it. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. This is a scripture that a lot of times I think you can just easily read over.
and miss the potency or the power of it. There's also some very, very incredible doctrinal understanding to who we are, who God is, and can be used as ammunition against those who do not believe in the Trinity. I remember one time Jesse and I were meeting with a kind of a cult-type group, and they had been coming to his house a few times, and they kept coming with different people, and finally, like an elder or something like that came, and Jesse said, you know, you brought your elder, I want mine. So we met at a coffee shop and immediately started a conversation, and what ended up happening was I brought up this fact because I knew their background, and I knew the way that they viewed Jesus was the Son of God, but not God. And I tried to explain to them, I said, well, God's a triune being. He's a Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and he's all one. They go, well, how do you get that? I said, well, we're made in his image, right? And they said, yeah. So I said, well, let's turn to Thessalonians. I turned to Thessalonians, and praise God, Paul, through the Holy Spirit, identifies that we're a spirit, we have a soul and a body, and that we're a triune being, just as our Creator is. And they were kind of dumbfounded. Actually, the conversation, I think, ended at that point, didn't it? They didn't want to go any. I think he was saying, ooh, I don't want my little one to be hearing this because this is pretty substantial. And so we, you know, God bless you, and then that was it. But I'm here to tell you, this scripture right here substantiates a lot of what we believe. And most people, I think, just kind of overlook it. So I don't want to necessarily focus on that part of it, but I thought I would throw that in just so you guys know, if you ever have anybody that's challenging the Trinity or challenging that we're a triune being, it's right here in black and white or highlighted in some of your Bibles maybe now, right? Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you. Now this word sanctify is a word that is kind of, I think, for a lot of people, difficult to get their hands around, their minds around, their thoughts around, maybe understand that definition, because we don't use sanctify that much. It's an older term, and it was used when it came to the priest being set apart and the items for the temple to be set apart for a certain type of service, and it was a holy service. It was that they were not to be defiled in any way. And, you know, in Jesus' times, when the story of the I think it was the poor guy who got beat up on the road, and the priest and I think the Pharisee go on one side, and the person from Samaria, the Good Samaritan, helps him out. Those priests and the Pharisees were trying to abide by the law that they didn't want to defile themselves. So sanctification means to be made holy, means to be made usable for God's service, means to be made fully clean. And sanctification is something that takes place at salvation, and then it's also something that takes place in the process of our lives as Christians. How many know that you know, when we receive Christ, we're complete in Christ. We're made new creatures. We're the old has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. We have the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. But then sanctification takes sometimes time. Now we're fully sanctified in Christ, but as obviously most of us can look in the mirror, look at our conduct, sometimes it doesn't look like we're sanctified. So what ends up happening, at least happened with me, is that I thought sanctification was something that I had to do. I had to make myself holy. I had to figure out how to get a handle on this flesh, you know, and so I would, so to speak, tie it up in knots so it couldn't do anything, you know, tie my arms, tie my legs, you know. Jesus says, you know, cut off your arm if it's offending you, or you pluck out your eye. You know, he's basically saying if you know, you're whatever you got to do, do it. And he's telling the Jews this the at that time, and he's letting them know that, you know, if you want to go to heaven, you've got to be serious, you've got to be desperate. So I thought that, I took that attitude with it, and I had to sanctify myself. Now, I think we enter into the process of sanctification. I'll go somewhere with this, son. I really will. But anyway, I have a part to play in it. But if you look here, Paul's praying something that's very important. May the God of peace, or the God of shalom, the God who exudes peace, the God who gives peace, releases peace, may he sanctify you himself. See, I wanted to sanctify myself. I wanted to do the things that I needed to do so that I would be holy. Whether that was, you know, not cuss, not chew, and don't date girls that do. You know, one of the I think that's one of the sayings, right? I mean, right? But you know what I mean? In other words, what I could stop doing so that I would be holy. And that, you know, it was up to me to make myself holy. Anybody else agreeing with this? I mean, you know, we've got to be holy as he is holy. Be holy as, be perfect as I am perfect, as your father's perfect, be holy. And so I thought it was something I had to do. And the problem was, is when I would fail, guess what? Number one, I would fail miserably at being holy. But I would have condemnation. Because it was up to me to make myself holy. Now, obviously, I can't make myself holy. But I would believe the lie that the majority of it was up to me. In other words, I had to do this. I had to have the strength. I had to have the ability. And Paul's saying, may God himself sanctify you. May the very Father whom we serve, the very Lord whom we serve, sanctify you, make you holy. And he even says it this way, complete to the end. I think it says here, completely. That word completely means completely, fully accomplished to the very end. In other words, may God himself make sure that you're holy to the very end. And may he do it. Not just may he oversee it and say, yeah, you stay on the right course, but may he do it. So how do we let God make us sanctified? By entering into what he's already done. See, that was another mistake I would make. I would think that an external power would give me everything that I need to physically make myself holy. But that's not what it is. I'm entering into a finished work of the cross. And how do I enter in? I enter in by agreeing with it. I enter in by focusing on that it's not me who lives, but it's Christ in me that lives. See, Christ in me that lives is holy. Mike Lindell in me that lives isn't holy. I hate to tell you that, but it's only Christ in me that lives that makes me holy and makes you holy. Okay, let's keep going because it may help you and help me. And may your whole, your entire, every part of you, every individual part, that's why he says spirit, soul, and body here. May every part of you be complete in spirit, soul, and body, be preserved blameless. So being preserved blameless means that we have no junk. We have no dirt on us. Now, I know sometimes we have skeletons in the closet, but being preserved blameless means that we don't have those. So how do we, in one case, look like we have things going on, and in the other case, being preserved blameless? Because it's in Christ. It's in him. It's in him we live and move and have our being. This is one of those times that I would just love to give you the eyes that I've seen with and the heart that I've believed with. Because as I read scriptures like these now, I go, oh my goodness, it was here the whole time. And unfortunately, I don't have all the time, the words to try to explain what's here. What's been endowed to us. Because it has. It's a free gift. The gift of God was a free gift. Yeah, he paid the full price, but for you and I, it costs us nothing. But then it costs us everything. It has no price tag, yet it has the greatest price tag of all because he wants us. He gets full possession of us. He gets full, I guess for lack of a better term, title deed to us. But when he gets that and we enter into that, see, every single one of us here is holy. You're not going to get any holier tomorrow than you are today. And you can go to some place where you give yourselves 3 years to prayer and dedication and solitude, and or you can go and you can serve in the very depths of Africa to some village, or you can become the greatest faster and prayer that there's ever been seen, but it will not make you one more ounce holy than you are right now. Why? Because it is a finished work. And that's why Paul says, I pray that God himself will sanctify you. In other words, you won't sanctify you. You won't declare yourself holy by what you do or how you perform. Because I understand that last week you heard about performance. I haven't heard the message. But you can't do anything to make yourself more holy than you are. But you can deny the holiness that you already have. You can overlook the holiness that you already are by not entering into it. See, entering into it is more than just acknowledging it. And entering into it is more than just trying to act holy so that you show others or show yourself that you're holy. Entering into it is entering into the very death that Jesus died for you. In other words, you don't identify with yourself anymore. You identify with his death. You identify with his burial and you identify with his resurrection. Not mentally, but fully in your heart. You receive the full work of the cross into your very being. To where it's not something you believe, it's not something you even follow, it's something that you have inside of you. In other words, the crucifixion of Christ is inside of you. The burial of Christ, his tomb existence is inside of you. The resurrection that is the Holy Spirit is inside of you. See, all that you are to be holy is already inside of you. Spirit, soul, and body. Now, I've always thought this is interesting. Why does our spirit need to be sanctified? Why does our spirit need to be made holy? Our spirit has come alive to God. Our spirit is with God. Our spirit is one spirit with him, as the Bible says. But I look at it this way. When we are not unified, when not all parts are acknowledging the holiness of God, another part suffers. It's no different than in the body of Christ. When one's hurting, we all hurt. In your family, when one's suffering, your personal families, when one's suffering, you all tend to suffer, right? Everyone tends to be brought down. Now, sometimes it's just because we feel compassion. Other times it's because they're making us miserable. Right? You still love them, but being honest, right? When one's suffering in the family, sometimes everybody's suffering because their pain and their hurt is coming out sometimes in pain and hurt towards us. But if we're not unified in our spirit, soul, and body, if all these parts are not being sanctified, consecrated, that word consecrated means set apart for a holy work, then I believe that's what drags our spirit down. You know, you and I can grieve the Holy Spirit. Do you think we can grieve our own spirit? If Holy Spirit and our spirit are connected, I think when we're grieving Holy Spirit, we're grieving our spirit. We need to give our spirit more, I guess for lack of a better term, position than what he has, or it has, or however you want to phrase it, it, he, she, the entity of our spirit needs to be unified in the sanctification of all that we are. See, the thing is that if we don't start giving the credence or the value to who God has made us, not just our soul, not just our mind, will, and emotions. Most of us do really well at that. We keep our mind entertained. Anybody else keep their mind entertained pretty good most of the time? We keep our emotions, try to keep ourselves happy, try to keep a good environment. You know, our will, we try to, most of the time keep our will in check. Even our bodies, we a lot of times take care of our bodies. You know, we acknowledge our bodies. You know, we don't just, abuse them. Most of us, we don't. I mean, sometimes we do with food. That's probably my worst abuse that I do. But I mean, we sometimes we stay up late. But most of the time we try to treat our body nicely. But how many of us acknowledge our spirit man and try to acknowledge, I guess for lack of a better term, his life, what he wants, what he needs? Now, some of you say, well, how do we do that, Pastor? We do that by being in Christ. Because in Christ, there's unity with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It brings unity to our being. Are we going to be understood by most people? Probably not. Because most people aren't even acknowledging their spirits. They think their spirit's something they're going to be really dealing with, when they die, and it's going to be established back with God. Most people are really worrying about how do I deal with this soul man and this body. The answer is the spirit. So may God himself sanctify this mess that we're in. May he be the one that fixes us. And you know what? He already has. He's already fixed us. And when you take communion, you're remembering that you're fixed. You're not just remembering what Jesus did. You're remembering what Jesus did for you, that you're complete in him. And I know some of you are saying, well, if I'm complete in him, then why do I live the way that I live? Because you need to give him more room. You just need to give him more of a place in your life. And whether it be in prayer or reading of the word or just sitting, acknowledging his goodness, or that he dwells in you. But the only way your spirit, your pneuma, the breath of God part of you, and your soul, the part of you that's your mind, will, and emotions, that psuche, that where we get our words, psychiatry, and our body that is, not the flesh, but our body. The only way that that's going to be fully sanctified is if we can work as, I guess, a triune being as one. And the only way that's going to happen is if we let all that he is in us come alive. Father, we come before your throne of grace right now. And we thank you, Lord, for making us in your image. You've made us, Lord, this triune being here. Spirit, soul, and body. You've taken possession of us. You have title deed. But not only that, Lord, you've taken residency inside of us. You've made us complete in you. You've made us holy. You've declared us holy. So, Father, as you've declared us that we are, as you have worked the work of the cross in within us, I pray that you would release the reality of holiness within us. You'd release the reality, Lord, of being one with you, and that all of our being, Lord, would become holy as you are holy. That the unity that you have in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would be reflected in the unity that we would have in spirit, soul, and body. Lord, that you would connect us, Lord, with the very life flow that you have for us, the river of life, the living water, Lord. Lord, and that our holy lives that we live wouldn't just be pleasing to you, Lord, but would be fulfilling what you've called us to do and who you've called us to be. Jesus, as it says towards the end, Lord, preserve blameless. Preserve us blameless, Lord. Keep us, guard us, protect us, Lord. From becoming something that we're not. Keep us, guard us, protect us, Lord, from becoming the darkness that we once were again. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to work in our hearts. We give you permission to work in our soul. We give you permission, Holy Spirit, to work in our spirit and our body. Every part of us, completely. Lord, in Philippians 1:6, it says that he who has begun a good work in you, and that's you, Father. That's you, Lord Jesus. That's you, Holy Spirit. Will be faithful to complete it unto the day of Jesus, to your glorious appearing, Lord. Lord, we commit our lives. We commit our being into your hands. We commit our ways into your ways. Lord, you are the way and the truth and the life. Help us to follow your path. Help us to not lean on our understanding. Help us to not just look at natural things, but to look, Lord, at your supernatural kingdom. Help us to see as you see and hear as you hear. I bless my brothers and sisters right now, Lord, with a hunger to know you more. May we all find our deepest desperation, Lord, in knowing you. May the distractions of this life, God, not be a hindrance from knowing you, but a catalyst for drawing near to you. May as the eyes of our understanding are enlightened, Lord, and we are knowing the hope of your calling, may it illuminate our being in such a way that others see it and want what we have. I just thank you, Lord, for your presence in our life. Let us never take it for granted. Help us to acknowledge you there every moment. As hard as that may seem, as impossible as that may seem, let it be, Lord, that we become people that are always aware of your presence. Always aware of your work of holiness in us. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. God bless you guys.